Let me share a story that admits a blind spot I've had. But for some background first, let me share with you a story of someone else's blind spot. Back in the before times, when I was less old, the zeitgeist at the time was involved worrying about plastic pollution. Specifically, a big offender is plastic straws. Like most forever chemicals, they don't decompose, they just litter the oceans. Given their shape and density, they get blown around by air a lot, so they tend to accidentally escape containment efforts. It's not an ideal situation. I guess there was a viral video showing how it's horrific for sea turtles. This is the background information for local businesses informing us of how admirable they are because they switched from plastic straws to paper. Following that, there were memes about paper straws dissolving before people can finish their drinks. Apparently some people order a beverage and stare at it for multiple hours. I had a friend at the time who informed me how much smarter he was than these people by realizing you can just not use a straw. Sure. But the point of a straw is to work around ice cubes. Him and his girlfriend were amused that I wanted to buy metal drinking straws. In response to their derision, I said, "Yeah, save the sea turtles." My then friend was incredulous that I would spend money for a cause like this. I specified, "It's not that I feel bad. It's that I recognize the moral obligation." He attempted to correct me vis-a-vis my thought process. He said that a sense of morality is exactly that feeling of guilt, which he then assured me I was feeling. At the time I was mildly horrified that he couldn't fathom the difference. The true horror is that I'm pretty sure most people can't disentangle these concepts in their minds. So once you become desensitized to the feeling of guilt, there's nothing left to guide you. Every pretentious video essayist will eventually talk about spec ops, the line and slash or disco Elysium at some point. Now let me share with you a story of my own blind spot. When I first saw the list of skills, I was immediately drawn to one. I figured clearly it's the best. If the game is good, surely with this one skill will be the one that matters the most, and with enough of it, you can compensate for the rest, or render them entirely obsolete. Other than the physical ones, of course. Fortunately, I've been able to ask others. A therapist once told me she thought that of empathy. I figured it was possible she was performing what is expected of her rather than being genuine. Then an artist told me she was immediately drawn to Inland Empire. 3 data points isn't definitive, but we can work with it. I hold the thesis, a person correlates with a signature skill in Disco Elysium. Much like that one expired card game has player archetypes of Spike, Johnny, Timmy, and Vorthos, there are appreciable differences that a real person tends to gravitate toward, reflecting their own personality and perspective on life. If we think of life as a game where you're the character, most players seem to have chosen a signature skill. Mine is logic, of course. Surely you saw this coming, it couldn't possibly be anything else. But then, maybe you didn't. It's obvious to me what was happening in my skull, but I reside there, so of course it would be, my thoughts are how I model thoughts in general. I've only recently heard Jordan Peterson argue. Irritating sophistry. A style of so-called debate for those who aren't seeking to build consensus, just arguing as a verbal dominance struggle. My sister argues the same way. She has one principle, one value, power for her. So when she thinks she's constructed an argument that will put her on top, her one question is the only question to be answered, no matter how absurd. There was a time she recommended me to one of her business partners. When I asked for literally any information at all about this guy, she lectured me on how it's disrespectful to question her. Conversely, if I ask her any question in the slightest, she refuses to answer. I swear I could ask her what color the sky is and she'd produce 1,000 words of verbal diarrhea, ending with her getting on her soapbox and proclaiming some cause at me, but at no point would the word blue come up. It's maddening. In every literal sense. There's a meme from Tumblr. Some children's hospital redecorated. For some reason they painted the floors red. It looks like a trail of blood. A few Tumblr-inus discussed. Some talked about the color theory of red, I imagine for the express purpose of signaling that they're smarter than everyone else. I imagine trying to convince, primarily, themselves. The rest told them to open their goddamn eyes, it looks like a trail of blood. This is my favorite book. Here's a bit from it. The list above that's, this one, a publication, a newspaper, all the way down to a very specific one, the list above seems to be a hierarchy of generality. The top being a very broad conceptual category, the bottom some very humble particular thing located in space and time. Our thought makes use of an ingenious principle, which might be called the prototype principle. The most specific event can serve as a general example of a class of events. Everyone knows that specific events have a vividness which imprints them so strongly on the memory that they can later be used as models for other events which are like them in some way. Thus, in each specific event, there is the germ of a whole class of similar events. So you experience an example, then distill its traits and refine the category to something more useful that better reflects the rest of the world. This is why I would love to push the term Wolfendoom for that genre. Anyway. Disco Elysium. If you're not familiar, well, turn this video off, go play it. But a quick rundown of some of the relevant information. This is truly a game where you build a character, in a realistic way. You wake up with amnesia, it takes a long time to learn your name, Harry, and your skills are talking to you as though they are someone else's voice in your head. They even talk to each other sometimes. They all have a personality, and dictate yours. Or rather, the real you chooses to nurture the ones it's attracted to initially. Kind of like inside you there are two wolves. But, 24. Let's look at Half-Life. The game describes what it is, your fight or flight response. It describes the sort of person who really like it, high-strung people, shoot now ask questions later, etc. What's fascinating about Disco Elysium is that it has a cynical view of the concept of a skill. In D&D, or almost every other game that has a way to increase skills and slash or attributes, if you can raise a skill from N to N plus 1, that is better. In Disco Elysium, there's such a thing as being too good at a skill. So continuing to look at Half-Life, if you don't have enough of it, you don't really have a survival instinct. But if you have too much of it, you're living your entire life right at the boiling point, which is not ideal, either. Disco Elysium also has lots of items that give small boosts to these skills, with a description about the item, usually also justifying why it affects your skills. Here's some itchy pants. Suffering the itchiness all the time puts you on edge, which is a detriment to your composure, but a benefit to your Half-Life. Let's take a moment to appreciate that all the skills have, and I cannot understate this, works of art, to represent them. Now, let's go meet Kuno. This is Kuno, an edgy child self-medicating for the trauma of his father's abuse with some kind of stimulant. Kuno is the apex of Half-Life. It's no wonder that Harry thinks of Half-Life in terms of being exemplified by Kuno. And that's why the portrait for Half-Life, Harry's mental image of the concept, looks so much like the portrait for Kuno. Or maybe I should say that the other way around. But that's been thoroughly covered already. I'm sure every Disco fan has noticed this, and told you about it. Enter YouTuber SkyMistless. She matches up all of the skills to their in-game exemplar. How sick is that? So who is the exemplar for logic? Fuck. How could this happen? How is the exemplar of logic the mega racist? Surely neither Sky nor ZA/UM thinks racial bias is logical. Logic is the opposite of bias, obviously. And yet, it's undeniable, isn't it? There's another sign. One of the items to boost your logic is a conical hat. Plus one logic, why do you think these, and indeed, most hats, were invented? Keeps the sun out of your eyes. Plus this one is made from straws, sounds way better for the environment than polyester or whatever. But there's more data left. Some missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, the setting of the game is not Earth, but the same insensitive elements are at play there. Harry is a white guy. This is decidedly not a hat for a white guy. Maybe Encyclopedia could have told us about specific events. Maybe empathy would have let us intuit the offense people would suffer. All the skill exemplars represent being in too deep. Kuno's half-light is easily outmaneuvered by the adult in the room. Gart, as Volition, gets no part in any of the interesting stuff. I'm pretty sure there's no way for you to pay him what you owe, so he's been manipulated into doing what you want for your benefit, instead of his own. The game says that too much logic will cause you to lose yourself in an ivory tower, wrapped up in some chain of reasoning that completely ignores what's in front of you. The logical thing to do is fit more information into your theory of the world. Even if it comes from an unexpected place. Maybe with a sufficiently galaxy-brained intellect, sufficient logic could solve everything, including morality. Realistically, you'll need some facts and, as well, whatever it takes. Just remember to open your eyes every so often, or you might turn into a color theorist.